Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open my lips to speak your words and open the hearts of each one of us to hear your good news for us. Thank you that you have created us in your image. Please restore and transform us in true humanity through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, find your humanity. A wonderful quest this is going to be. Excited I am, as Yoda would say, to preach this sermon series. When we think about the word humanity, many things might come to mind. But the first one that I want to focus in on is the word image. And to think about why this word image is so important in terms of finding and understanding and unfolding our humanity, we have to go right back to the start, right back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, in that famous passage, one of the most famous passages in all of world literature, as God creates the universe from nothing, God comes to the pinnacle of his creation, the high point of all that he does. And that happens in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created humanity in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God looks at all that he's made and he says, "It is very good. This is a very good thing." And God is delighted with his creation that has, as his image, human beings, humanity. Now, this word image is a really interesting one when you look at it in the context of the surrounding cultures around the nation that produced the literature of Genesis. For the nations around Israel, the image of a god, any god, there were believed to be multiple gods, was the statue that you found when you went into the temple of that god. The Hebrew word is tselem. And so when you went into a temple, you expected that there would be a carved object, an image, an idol, if you like. And that was the tselem of the god. But the God of Israel, the one true God, says, "Let us create humanity in our tselem, in our likeness." And when other nations went into the temple in Jerusalem, when it was built hundreds and thousands of years after this account, they said, "Where is the image? You don't have a carved object that we can look at and therefore worship the God. How can we worship God, this God, if he doesn't have an image?" But God says his image is humanity. And so, in order to find your humanity, you have to understand that you, and by saying you, I mean you all, you plural, are made in the image of God. There is something about humanity that reflects what God is like to the world and the people around. This is quite profound. And when I started thinking about it, I thought of all kinds of words that kind of come with being in the image of God. Relationships, love, Trinity, identity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, male, female, humanity, communication, creativity, holy, sexuality, masculinity, femininity, free will, and lots more. It's kind of like that part in the movie The Castle where Dennis DeNutto says it's the constitution, it's Mabo, it's just the vibe. And really, this is what it's all about finding and discovering our true humanity. There is something special and unique about a human being. You don't find a horse going, I wonder what my purpose is. Or a dog saying, I just haven't been feeling centered lately. There's something unique about human beings, and I hope to be able to unpack that for you in a helpful way in the coming sermon series. And because no sermon to uni students is complete without a YouTube clip from a Disney movie aimed at teenage girls, I'll go to the movie Tangled. She says, find your humanity. Haven't any of you ever had a dream? And he says, I had a dream once. And then he goes into this song and dance act where it turns out that he always wanted to be a concert pianist. I don't know if you've seen the movie. My girls love it. I quite like that point. There is something there about saying, find your humanity. You were made for more than this violent criminal existence. There's something more there. And so when we look at the word find, I'm thinking of a couple of different aspects of finding your humanity. First of all, there's a great adventure. There's a journey of discovery. There is something precious and wonderful here, and we are on a quest to discover it or to rediscover it. Find your humanity. It's an invitation into a life that is fuller and more meaningful and deeper than anything we could imagine. But there's also a sense of a desperate search for something that has been lost. If we have to find our humanity, as the Disney princess says to the guys in the bar, then perhaps something of our humanity has been lost. And perhaps that is the thing that makes us think, what is my purpose in life? What am I here for? Isn't there more than this? Shouldn't life be different? And as I look at that second aspect of the word find, it's pretty obvious that as we look at ourselves and the world around us, the image of God, this wonderful gift that God gave at the beginning of creation, is broken. It's broken. It's not the way it was meant to be. You don't have to look very hard in the newspaper or at your own life to find out that community and relationships and creativity and all of that stuff is not the way that God intended it to be. There's rebellion against God's authority. There's a rejection of God's love and of love for one another. We become selfish. We want things our own way. We can't see the good of the other person. Our creativity, one of those aspects of the image of God, is distorted and can produce devastating results. We live with broken relationships. Just this afternoon, I had another screaming match with my daughter. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to get to that point. But somehow, our relationship is broken. It's not the way that it's meant to be. Our community is shattered. And when we do have an experience of real community, it is precious. And it's like rare. Wow. That is something to hang on to. The Bible has a word for all this. It's, yes, it is a Christian jargon word, but it's a word that sums up that the image of God is broken. And that word is sin. And sin is talked about in very early on in the story of God and people. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, just a couple of chapters after God's creation, where he looks around and goes, good, 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 very good. And then this. Genesis 3, you know the story. You probably know it. You might have heard it before. I'm not going to read it out to you. The man and the woman that God had created rebel against God. They listen to the lies of the serpent. They take the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And suddenly, they're naked. They're vulnerable. They're ashamed. They don't have that relationship with God that they know that they should have. This is also talked about in Romans chapter 5 by St. Paul, who was a student of the Old Testament scriptures. And in Romans 5, Paul says this, verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Sorry, that's chapter 6. It's kind of Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. We're all going to die. We've all decided to reject the source of life, and to walk away, and to do it on our own. Paul goes on in Romans 5:20. I've got my references slightly mixed up here. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Paul says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. That's how I feel when I get into a screaming argument with my daughter. It's like I'm trapped in a cycle. I don't want it to be that way. But that's the way it turns out. And it leads to broken relationships. It leads to breakdown. It leads eventually to death. And so what sin does is it tilts or distorts or twists our humanity. It twists the image of God so that we are no longer as God created us to be. And it seems as if everything's off kilter. Nothing works quite right. That's the situation we find ourselves in. So, how are we going to find our humanity? What's the solution? How can we do that? There's actually another place in the Bible where the scriptural authors speak of the image of God. Listen to this. He, Jesus, is the image. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. God sees that his image is broken. The mirror is shattered. But he wants to restore. He loves the people that he has made in his own image. He's angry about what destroys that image and what takes people away from him. And he knows that we don't have the capacity to do it ourselves, to fix that relationship. So God himself, the second person of the Trinity, comes into our world. And Paul writes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. St. Paul writes that in Colossians 1, verse 15 and 19. What is God doing through Jesus? Restoring the image, bringing back the humanity, making peace where relationships are broken, forgiving, restoring, transforming. And so there's a third aspect of that word find in the phrase find your humanity that I'd like to look at. And that is that finding something can be a delightful gift. My wife had a birthday party yesterday, and someone, one of our guests, brought her this gift, and it was all wrapped up, and as she unwrapped it, it was this sense of delight as she looked at what our friend had brought for her. Wow, this is good. Find your humanity. You don't have to do it yourself. God is the one who is giving and restoring and transforming and bringing back the image of God through the work of Jesus. It's a delightful gift. In the midst of all that bad news, there is good news that God doesn't leave our image broken. He doesn't leave sin as the dominant force in this world, but he enters into the world, this image of the invisible God, in whom all of God's fullness dwells, and he comes to be with us and to walk on our planet and even to go to death, the death that we deserved. Paul writes about that. Oh, why does that keep happening? Again in Romans. Arg. This has nothing to do with the image of God, just my bad use of technology. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, 18, 19, 23, Paul writes this. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, that was Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinful, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. And then in Romans 6:23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What an awesome gift that is. So, maybe, we as people of God can go on the great adventure, the journey of discovery. And over the coming weeks, that's what I hope to open some windows and doors into these kind of aspects of true humanity, community, identity, knowing who you really are and why that matters, male and female. In Genesis, it says that in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. What does it mean to really be male, to be female, to explore our masculinity, our femininity, to together image the living God? Cosmos. How do we fit, if we are image bearers, into this vast universe that God has created and declared to be good? And what does it mean to be fully human? One of the early church fathers, Saint Irenaeus, said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. In Christ, our sin is dealt with. Our death is overcome. And we, you and I, and us together, can once again bear with pride the image of God and be human beings who are fully alive. Thanks be to God through Jesus our Lord. Amen.